Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. Your host today, Marty Jones, and our guest is going to be Audrey Liu. As always, we want to thank Don Richmond for the background music, and we also want to thank Daniel Boyce for the bird songs that you hear. Well, our guest today is Audrey Liu, the Executive Director of the San Luis Valley Habitat for Humanity, and we're talking to her today about the Bike to Build ride here in the bicycle ride. It's a fundraiser for the San Luis Valley Habitat for Humanity. Welcome, Audrey.
Thank you, Marty. Thank you for hosting me on your podcast.
And thanks for being here. So, Audrey, tell us a little bit about Bike to Build. What is the history of this?
Ooh, so Bike to Build, I think the idea started maybe 15 years ago, and the Alamosa Outdoor Cycling Group came and approached Habitat for Humanity and said, hey, we'd like to get an organized bike ride in the San Luis Valley. Would you be interested in helping to organize it? And it seemed like a great fit, a really awesome outdoor activity and benefiting Habitat for Humanity. So that's where it first started, was just an idea. I guess the cyclists who were riding in the San Luis Valley didn't want to organize themselves, so they had asked us if we could help organize and provide snacks and support for a bike ride.
Great. And when was the first actual ride?
That was back 14 years ago in 2009, and our first years for the ride, it was going over La Vida Pass, so it wasn't quite a century that it is today, and the riders would ride over to La Vida. We'd have a little meal there, and some riders would get driven back, and some riders would ride the train back, and that was really, really, really fun.
It was. I didn't get to go on the very first one, but I think I went the second year, and it was really cool riding over the pass in a group. Mm-hmm. You feel safer riding in a group than just by yourself.
Definitely, definitely. And it was fun that the train, I think they let us load the bikes up, and they brought them back also.
Yeah, I missed out. I rode the school bus back. But that was still good.
Yeah.
And you had arranged for a really nice meal at the end of the ride, too.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
Yeah. So you've been doing this every year since that very first
one? Every year since then. And actually, the very, very first ride, it was to accompany our annual cyclist, Tim Dillette. He usually rides around Minnesota for a week. And that very first ride over La Vida, we were riding with Tim to start his bike ride to Minnesota. So that kicked off the very, very first Habitat bike ride. And about 12 years ago, maybe we decided, oh, let's make it into a century ride so we could do 100 miles. And we did our first loop from Alamosa to San Luis, 100 miles. And we had, I think, three or four different rest stops. And the next year when we went over to San Luis, our bike riders were part of the Santa Ana parade because it was during the festivities and you had to walk your bike in the parade. It was pretty fun. And then I think a few years after that, we started offering different distances. So there's a shorter ride, a 30, 35-mile ride. Then there was a metric century ride and then the full 100-mile century ride. So it's kind of evolved over the years.
Right. And the reason we were able to do those shorter distances was because of routes that did not involve going all the way to San Luis,
right,
for example. So I know that some of the routes that we have done in the past involved going north of Alamosa over to Del Norte, actually, and then coming back.
Right.
We've done some that have involved going south, say to Sanford or Manassas, and coming back. Just a real variety of rides.
It's a great way to experience the San Luis Valley and see all the beauty and the fields and the blue sky.
Yeah. Where do riders come from?
Ooh, riders have come from all over. They've come from California. Well, okay, 50% of our riders come from the San Luis Valley, which is way awesome. And then the other, they come from Massachusetts, California. Whoever hears about our bike rides, we're listed on different bike riding sites. And then there's two riders, they're brothers. One was from New York and one was from Kansas, and they do a century ride every year, and they saw our ride, and they said, oh, let's meet in Colorado and do this century ride. So different people hear about us different ways.
And I know friends of mine from New Mexico have been pretty consistent riders for this as well.
And Texas.
And Texas.
It's cooler to come here. this summer to ride your bike.
Yeah, even now when it's still over 100 degrees in Texas and southern New Mexico, this feels like a much cooler temperature. It might feel hot to us, but it feels a lot better to them. Well, so what do we have for this year's ride?
Ooh, so this year we're hosting a metric century, which is 62.5 miles, and it's about a 35-mile ride. We're going to explore more of the southern mid-area of the valley. We're going down to Lahara and Sanford and coming back along the back routes.
But we'll be going out as far as the Stanley Road.
Right.
I mean, north as far as the Stanley Road and the County Line Road.
Ooh, and what makes the ride super possible is volunteers such as yourself who help organize them and also the volunteers who host the rest stops, the folks that have water and snacks for the riders. It's maybe every 15, 20 miles, and it's a great way for riders to rest up, refuel, talk about what's happening.
Yeah.
So we thank the volunteers.
I was talking with Owen earlier about the fact that it's easier to ride a long distance on an organized ride where you have regular aid stations and you can converse with people and ride with other people. It's much easier to do that than to ride a long distance just by yourself where, man, there's just not a whole lot of conversation that you can have and still be considered a sane person.
And then there's those yummy snacks at the rest stops. You don't have to carry your snacks with you, and there's facilities.
So what are the funds that you raise for Habitat? So the bike ride raises funds for Habitat for Humanity. What are those used for? Can you talk just a little bit about Habitat for folks who aren't familiar with that?
So what Habitat for Humanity does is we help first-time home buyers who haven't been able to buy a home from a bank or another housing organization. And we raise the funds and the volunteers and we help build the houses. What the bike ride does, this bike ride in particular, is going to help us raise all the funds to put a roof on the next Habitat project. So usually the rides raise maybe between $3,000 and $5,000, and it's used to help build the homes. When the families who qualify, they help build the homes. When they move in the houses, they pay a mortgage payment, and it's a 0% interest mortgage, and that mortgage payment every month goes to building houses with the next Habitat families, So we've been building in the San Luis Valley for, 25 years. Actually, it's probably more like 28 years. And every month we raise about $3,000 to $4,000 in mortgage payments. So every month those funds are helping to build the next project. So it's a pretty self-sufficient organization.
And how many houses have been built?
I think we just completed our 23rd.
23.
Yeah.
That's amazing. It takes a year and a half, 2 years,
About a year and a half from start to finish.
And the owners are contractors themselves.
Or
if they don't have home building skills at the start, they do by the time they're finished.
Yeah, they sure learn. Yeah, families, they put in 500 minimum hours of sweat equity. That's volunteering with the organization, helping to build the houses. And, learning a lot about what goes into making a house, becoming, learning how to use tools, and then I think it'll help with maintenance and things like that as the family is living in the home.
Right. So in years past, and presumably this year as well, current homeowners have frequently served as hosts for at least one or more of the rest stops on the bike ride.
Yes.
And that's always nice to see, and the homeowners that I've spoken with in the past have always been kind of interested in seeing who all these bike riders are that are helping to support their efforts.
Right. So if riders are interested in pedaling on this ride, it's going to be Saturday, September 9th, starting at 7 a.m. And you can go to Habitat for Humanity's website. It's slvhabitat.org, and there's a tab for the bike ride, and there's registration information on the website.
And there are other ways to get involved too, right? That you can register?
It's all on the website.
It's
probably just to say website, and then you can follow the other links on the website.
Okay, very good. Do you have any memories, special memories from past rides?
Actually, I have one that's particular. So Eric Schriesau, he's always the fastest rider. He's usually the first one in. And I remember during our first rides over La Vida Pass, we got over to La Vida, had our meal, everyone's taking the bus or the train back, and Shasta and I are driving back, and there we see Eric going up the steep side of La Vida, coming home. He's pedaling the second ride, and it was harder than the first ride. And I that made an impression. I really remember that. And I remember, like I mentioned, the two brothers, they came and they met in Colorado to do the 100-mile bike ride. And then it also was with two grandfathers and two grandsons. They came from Minnesota and Massachusetts and came to Colorado. And it was a chance for the grandsons to get, and it was grandsons from two different families, the grandsons to get together and ride, and the grandfathers. And they would ride along, and then, like, we were at the first rest stop, and it was about time to close the rest stop. And, you know, where are the grandfathers and the grandsons? And so we ride back along, and, oh, there they are, resting under a tree, having their own little conversation, enjoying the ride. So it was really great just to see them enjoying taking in the beauty of the San Luis Valley and enjoying the ride. And some of my most memorable times are riding with Shasta, my daughter. She's now 17, but when she first rode, I think she was, maybe 6 or 7, and she had her little Barbie bike and her 12-inch wheels, and, you know, you can't really go that fast on 12-inch wheels, but she got on in San Luis and said, I'm going to ride, and so she was riding, and Tim DeLette was right next to her, and he just stayed with her for about 10 miles. I didn't think she was going to ride 10 miles, but she's like, I want to get to the rest stop, and that made an impression that she just, I don't think she was prepared. She had her helmet and, you know, her little wristband, but she just kept going.
And I remember that ride because at that rest stop, you guys, well, Tim's a faster rider than I am too, so you guys were already there by the time I got there. And there was some little issue with the chain on Shasta's bike, and I just happened to have some bike lube with me, and we re-lubed the chain, and it was golden from that point on.
Yeah, and she pedaled with that.
You know, one of the things that I have as a memory of the ride is people who came from an urban area, maybe Colorado Springs or Albuquerque or someplace, who are just not used to a rural environment, riding along, and we pass a field of potatoes, and what's that? Or a field of barley, what's that? And so it got to the point where I was trying to find those folks and provide a running narrative of, so there's some potatoes. And because usually the ride is in July, about the time the potatoes are flowering, you can tell whether they're going to be red potatoes or white or yellow potatoes by the color of the flower. And so we'd give a little quiz. We'd explain once what was going on and then quiz the riders as we'd go past. And then I think it was Vivian who one year when she was helping to mark the course had arrows pointing to
canola,
potatoes,
wheat.
Yeah, all of this. It is such a pleasant and fun ride. I encourage you, if you have not yet registered for this, if you're a cyclist, even if you don't want to do the metric century, if you want to do the 35-mile ride, you'll still get to see lots of interesting things. You cross over El Rio Bravo del Norte, the Rio Grande. And so you can see what the water levels are like and so on. Could you tell us that website again,
sure.
How to register?
It's SLV Habitat, as in San Luis Valley Habitat, slvhabitat.org. And just look for the Bike to Build link.
Okay. So there you have it, folks. If you have not yet registered, you still have some time. The ride itself is September 9th. And we meet at the Alamosa Senior Center at the north end of Cole Park. That's where the ride starts. And after the ride, what is there after the ride?
So you can talk about the yummy cookies that we just got to sample. But we also have some local chips that are green chili cheddar and sriracha. And we have some Taos bars. I can't remember all the flavors, but there's coffee and chocolate. But we have locally made snacks.
Right. And the cookies that Audrey was mentioning come from Tumbleweed Bakery here in the San Luis Valley. They are I don't want to say they're to die for, but they are really, really good cookies. And if you come, so here's a little bonus, maybe a heads up for everyone. On the evening of September 9th, you can go out to the Colorado Farm Brewery, and the group Rendezvous is going to be playing. That's Rhonda Shoniker on guitar and vocals, Charlie Johnson on bass, and Mark Dudrow on cello. And they'll start playing around 6 o'clock. So you can go out, have dinner. You'll have time to take a shower after the bike ride, and then go out, have a good beer and dinner, and listen to some excellent music as well. So plenty of reasons. Not only are you supporting an excellent cause, but you're also improving your physical health.
And having a great time.
Yeah, and your mental health too. So, Audrey, is there anything else that you would like to talk about?
I can't think of anything. Just get out your bike and come join us. It's a beautiful, beautiful ride.
Yep. All right. So with that, thank you, Audrey.
Thank you, Marty.
The executive director for SLV Habitat for Humanity and the coordinator of the 2023 Bike to Build San Luis Valley Community Ride. We'll be right back after this brief message. This is the Outdoor Citizen.
The Adams State Grizzlies are back for another championship season of college athletics. Don't miss a game and get to know our national championship athletes by joining the Grizzly Club today. Hi, I'm Caitlin Smith, athletic director for your Adams State Grizzlies. Your support means everything to the student athletes and all of us with Adams State Athletics. When you become a Grizzly Club member, you're helping Adams State student athletes bring back more championship trophies to the San Luis Valley. Visit ASUGrizzlies.com and join today, or call 719-587-7401.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Citizen. We're going to give you some upcoming outdoor events. Remember, the Valley Calendar is the most comprehensive listing of events from across the San Luis Valley. Be sure to check it out and stay up to date at alamosacitizen.com. Here's a look at the rest of August and events in the early part of September. On August 26th, the Rio Grande Farm Park has a volunteer work day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Hope you can join in. Alamosa's Early Iron Festival is September 1st and 2nd, and that's held at Cole Park in Alamosa. It's the 42nd annual Early Iron Festival. That's been going on much longer than we've been here in town. And as you just heard, September 9th is the 2023 Bike to Build Century Community Ride. To register, go to slvhabitat.org/bike2build, or you can send an email to bikes@slvhabitat.org. Also on September 9th is the Alamosa KOA Campground Chili Cook-Off as a Care Camp's fundraiser. Chili makers will pay an entry fee of $20, and chili tasters will pay $10 to sample the entries and then enjoy all of them at the end. The winning chili earns a $1,000 prize. To enter, call KOA Campground's Joe Parents at 719-589-9757. The chili cook-off and tasting will be from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the KOA Campground east of Alamosa. The Great Outdoors Fund, BLM, and SLV Great Outdoors are hosting a community dinner in Antonito on September 12th to help community members learn more about the Labatos Bridge Project. You can register for the event by emailing Lori, L-O-R-I, at thegreatoutdoorsfund.org. September 12th is the weekly SLV Go Walk in the Park. Join us at the Alamosa Seniors Center for a weekly morning walk around Cole Park. Walking begins at 9 a.m. This is an every Tuesday event hosted by San Luis Valley Great Outdoors. And there are still bike rides going on, sponsored by SLV Great Outdoors. On Tuesdays, the bike rides are mountain bike rides west of town. And on Wednesday evenings, the bike rides are here in Alamosa. The best thing to do to get the information on exactly where the rides are is to visit the SLV GOES website, San Luis Valley Great Outdoors, and click on the events tab. That will bring up a calendar, and when you click on the particular day you're going to be looking for, it'll show what the rides are. On every episode of The Outdoor Citizen, we will have an outdoor correspondent report from around the San Luis Valley. Here's the latest field report from fisherman Ken Marquez during a recent outing to Trujillo Meadows.
Hey, good morning. This morning we're fishing at Trujillo Meadows, which is a very top and actually down La Manga Pass. Head over Antonito towards Chama, and you're gonna see this beautiful lake right here. So we're gonna give it a go today. I'm fishing with my buddies John Willis and Bruce Del Tondo, and we'll take some pictures and we'll see how it goes, but I think we're gonna do some good fishing here today.
Summer is still here and the sun is still setting late in the day. While we have all this time for outside fun, we'd love to hear from you, the listeners, as you explore the San Luis Valley's great outdoors. We encourage you to record an audio file on your phone and send it to us. We would enjoy seeing a photograph also. You can email info@alamosacitizen.com or text the audio file and photo to 720-891-6759 with your name for credit. Now we have some conditions and measurements for you to keep you up to date on what it's looking like out there. You may have noticed over the past couple of days smoke in the valley. The Quartz Ridge and Bear Creek fires in the San Juan National Forest continue to burn. The Quartz Ridge fire northeast of Pagosa Springs and Wolf Creek in particular, that fire is bringing a presence of smoke into the San Luis Valley. We are certainly noticing that. The San Juan National Forest is listing the fire danger as moderate. In the Rio Grande National Forest, there's a warning of high fire danger as the San Luis Valley continues to shift into drought conditions. Here are the latest stream flows entering the week. On the Rio Grande, the flow at Del Norte is 268 CFS. In Monte Vista, 102 CFS. And in Alamosa, 91.8 CFS. On the Conejos, at Magoti, the flow is 166 CFS. So here we have a few fishing reports from the Upper Rio Grande, Conejos River, and the lower basin of the Arkansas River. In the Upper Rio Grande, South Fork Anglers reports productive fishing in August. The rain is keeping us in the game. We are seeing flows bump almost every night, or at least holding consistent. 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. has been prime time fishing on the Upper Rio Grande here in mid to late August. Conejos River Anglers reports decent fishing in the mornings and slow afternoons. Fish are actively feeding on top, but beware of hotter water temperatures in the afternoons and evenings. Below Platoro Reservoir, the Meadows are seeing good fishing. If stream flows continue to drop below 150 CFS, then start to look to fish some of the pocket water. Dry dropper rigs will be the go-to setup. And from the lower basin of the Arkansas, Braden Baker of Ark Anglers out of Salida reports that stream flows are now slightly below the historic average for this time of year, but remain at a very comfortable flow for both float and wade anglers. We are seeing good attractor dry fly fishing down here and good shallow dry dropper fishing. Terrestrial activity is significant this summer. Grasshoppers all over the grassier edges of the river. Speaking of grasshoppers, they seem to be all over our garden as well. Here on The Outdoor Citizen, we aim to keep you up to date on all the outdoor news that comes our way. Here's what's going on outside. Adam State is offering an introductory course, Water 101, the ABCs on how water works in the West. The course is taught by agronomist Maya Turkile Miller. San Luis Valley community members may also participate in Water 101 as a listening course. The cost of the listening course is $150 for the semester. Registration is available online at adams.edu. There is still time to register, but don't wait too long. The Southwest Conservation Corps will be conducting trail maintenance within Alamosa from August 22nd to August 29th. The crew, the Southwest Conservation Corps crew, will be camping at the North River Pavilion and Oxbow Trails Access, which is located at 5075 North River Road during this time. If trains are your thing, or if you've always wanted to ride the Cumbres and Toltec Scenic Railroad but have never done so, well, here's a perfect opportunity. The Cumbres and Toltec Scenic Railroad just announced the return of dinner trains with two special evening fall train rides. The Outlaw Express, Brews, Views, and Q is a limited offering that provides guests with a fantastic view of autumn foliage with a side of delicious barbecue and live music. This limited-time charter will make two trips this season on September 27th and October 4th. The train will depart Chama, New Mexico at 3 p.m., taking riders up to Cumbres Pass, the highest operational railroad pass in America, and returning to Chama around 6 p.m. More information is available in the community news section at alamosacitizen.com. This ends this episode of the Outdoor Citizen podcast. Our thanks again to Don Richmond for the music and to Daniel Boyce for the bird songs that you've heard during the podcast. We'll be back here September 5th when we talk to members of the SLV Climbers Alliance, Angela Lee and Wes O'Rourke. We'll talk about SLV climbing and the True Penitence Climbing Fest. We hope you enjoyed listening in. Until next time, we'll see you in the out of doors.